1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I want to preach on this subject this morning, what God wants to do with our sin. What God wants to do with our sin. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you'd help me and that you'd bless and anoint the message, dear God. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the volume of your word that gives us assurance and gives us answers in this area. Lord, your attitude towards sin and then the action that you have taken, Lord, to deliver us from sin. And I pray, Lord, that we would get your mind and your heart for many and most, dear God, that are here today, saved, born again. This message will be a source of rejoicing, remembering and rejoicing and being thankful for your great mercy. What a wonderful song to prepare our hearts, Lord. Where sin was great, grace was greater still. And Lord, thank you, dear God, that you were able to overcome sin and your willingness, Lord, to properly deal with our sin. If we'll let you, dear God, I pray that we'll get a little peek into the heart of a loving and merciful God this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to say some things in introduction, just give you three quick points in introduction, and I'm going to say this. I'm not sure I've delivered this type of a message before as far as the volume of scripture that I'll read, but I've just been overwhelmed this week and so thankful, and every once in a while God just gets me stuck on something, and I chase this thing around in the scriptures, and I listened to so many and read so many encouraging verses. And I want to encourage you this morning. I want to give those of you that may have never been saved, I want to give you hope. I want to point you to the Savior. I want you to understand that you have a holy God, but a God that loves you. And yes, does God hate sin? We know that he does. Does God love sinners? I don't know how he could have proved it anymore in sending his only begotten Son to die for the sins of the world. But sin is a fact. Let me give you these introductory statements. Number one, we all sin. We all sin. Let's just nail that down. John wrote here in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. I've only one time in my life talked to an adult person that looked me in the eye and claimed that they'd never sinned. Now, I've talked to a number of children that wanted to tell me that. Sometimes children will be listening to a message and the beginning stages of God working them towards an understanding of salvation, and they'll come. We see this in VBS a lot. And I'll ask them, do you know what sin is? Oh, sin is bad things that we do. And I'll say, have you ever sinned? And you see them look. Now, in their mind, they know they have, but they're wondering if it's a trick question. You can almost see their little minds working like, what did he see me do? Did my mother call him? And so they'll say, oh, no, you know, no, I've never sinned. And of course, you know, they're working towards a knowledge and working towards an understanding. And probably if they hang around church long enough, they'll get it all. But listen, you say an adult man. Yeah, adult man looked me in the eye one time years and years ago and absolutely was offended at the fact that I would suggest that he was a sinner. And he began to want to talk about other people in the community and identify them as sinners. But when I brought the spotlight onto him, he was almost angry with me that I would suggest that he was a sinner. Well, the Bible says something about that man. He's deceiving himself and the truth is not in him. In verse number 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So not only are you lying or am I lying if we say we have not sinned, but we're making God a liar because God said this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Most thinking people, most honest people would never try to defend the fact that they are sinless. Number one, we all sin. Number two, I like this. We have been offered a remedy for our sins. Thank God. That's the only message we've got to bring to a lost and dying world. We all have been offered a remedy to our sins. Let me just read some verses to you. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in God's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him, speaking of Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 1 Corinthians 15, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Preacher, is there a remedy for sin? Yes, and Jesus is the remedy for sin. He hath made him, God hath made his son to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know what? Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and he rose again the third day. Galatians chapter 1, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he hath made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, set down on the right hand of majesty, on the majesty on high. Folks, listen to me. We could go on and on and on with this theme because it's the main theme of the Bible. We all have a sin problem, and God hates sin, but he loves sinners. So that sin problem had to be dealt with somehow. And so God came up with a plan to save mankind. And he sent his son, the sinless sacrifice. When Jesus died, he wasn't dying for his sins. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus didn't have to die for his sins. He was sinless when he died on the cross. I hope you can absorb this. Listen, let's go back and rejoice in our salvation a minute. Let's go back and think about the day that we were saved. Do you realize that, folks, now over 2,000 years ago when Jesus hung on that cross, he not only put the sins of the whole world, not only was the sins of the whole world placed on Jesus Christ, not only did it please the Father to bruise him, and God turned the lights out for those 3 hours, and God poured out his wrath upon our sin by making his Son deal with the punishment of that sin. But let me just say that it wasn't just the sins of the whole world. It was Jerry Ross's sins that were there that day. And it was your sins that were there. If you're a preacher, I wasn't even alive yet. Yeah, but God in his foreknowledge, he not only took all the sins of everybody that had lived and the sins of the people that were living at that time, but God took the sins of every man that would ever be born and everything we would ever do, and he laid them on his son that day. And you know what? Because of that, there's a remedy for sin. Jesus Christ offers salvation. When he sat down, I like that. Did you read that? Hear that in Hebrews? When he sat down on the right hand of the Father, he sat down having himself purged our sins. I love that. We all have sinned. We all have been offered a remedy for sin. And number three, we all must choose to accept the remedy for sin or bear the consequences of that sin. What was it Jesus said to Nicodemus? And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Watch this. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now listen, we all have a sin problem. We're all sinners. God made remedy for sin, but you know what? God doesn't force that remedy upon any individual. Every single person must decide whether or not they're going to, by faith, put their trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection for our sins. And if we do that, and if you have done that, you know what? You're born again. Your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. If the trumpet blows today, you're going up in the rapture. If God tarries and you die, you know what? You don't have to worry about it. Angels will come and usher your soul into the presence of God. There's a mansion being built for you, but you have to decide for you. You have to decide for you. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Now, preacher, you know, I've got this sin. We've established that. And God, I know, come up with a remedy for this sin. And I know that we can choose to accept the remedy for sin. But preacher, let's just ask a question here. Let's just float this thought. Okay? What does God do with the sin? What does he want to do with my sin? If I were to come today and ask Jesus Christ to save me, what really happens to the sin? What God wants to do with your sin? That's the subject matter of this morning's message. And again, you're going to hear some scripture, but I hope you rejoice in it. I'm going to read a lot from the Bible this morning. Just hang in and enjoy it. Get on the roller coaster. Put your seatbelt on, and let's just do a few loopity-loops and over the hills and let's just listen to what God has done with your sin if you've already been saved, or what God wants to do this morning with your sin if you've never been saved. Number one, God's Spirit, let me just establish this. First of all, number one, God's Spirit will convict you about sin. God's Spirit will convict you about sin. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Jesus said this. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. You know, the Holy Spirit has three main goals, three main assignments when he comes here when dealing with the lost. And that's, he wants to convict them or reprove them of sin. Watch this. Righteousness and judgment. You know what the Holy Spirit does? He tries to get us to see our sinful state. And then he wants us to compare it to the righteousness of a holy God. He wants us to see our sinful state, and then he wants to compare it to the righteousness of a holy God. When we were boys, we used to get messy. We used to go out in the woods and get dirty. I mean, filthy dirty. I'm talking about pigsty dirty. I'm talking about turn us loose out there north of Brazil of Indiana. Mom runs us out the door, feeds us breakfast, runs us out the door. And you know what we do? We go out, find dirt, mud, and filth. That was our entire job. Sometimes we got really into it. We decide we're going to dam up the creek, or we're going to do something crazy. And I mean, we'd roll around in it. The next door neighbor, Mrs. Purcell, we'd go to her house sometimes, and I mean literally we would be mud from the top of our heads to the bottom of our feet. And she'd line us up, make us all line up in the backyard, and she'd take a garden hose and just spray us. And everybody, you know what, here's the thing. She'd start talking about how dirty I was. Well, I'd always look up and down the line and try to find a boy dirtier than me. So I'd go over and stand by him. Because then she'd start talking about how dirty he was and stop talking about how dirty I was. Can I say this? That's what mankind does today. When dealing with this sin problem, they don't really want to deal with the sin problem. They just want to find a boy dirtier than them and go stand beside them. But wait a minute, the Holy Spirit's not just reproving us of our sinfulness, he's also exposing us to God's righteousness. And you know what? Why don't you trot on over and stand beside Jesus? Why don't you stand beside his holiness? Well, I'm not all that bad. You may not think you are till you stand beside the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you something. Light exposes darkness, and holiness exposes dirt and sin. And you know what? That's what the Holy Spirit's job is. You know what he does? He is there to convince us of our sinfulness, show us God's righteousness, and then warn us of judgment. And based on those three things, we ought to beat a path to the altar. We ought to dart to the altar. We ought to accept what's being offered to us, the gift of eternal life, because my goodness sakes, you know what? God is willing to forgive our sin. What does God want to do with our sin? Well, number one, that his Spirit's been sent to convict us about our sin. Number two, God wants to forgive your sins. Now let that settle in. He wants to forgive your sins. If we confess our sins, he, speaking of God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what we read this morning. Is that the only place where God speaks about forgiveness? How much time do you have? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In chapter 3, repent you therefore of Acts and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. 1 John chapter 2, verse 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for your name's sake. Now, listen, when somebody comes to the Lord, and they are under conviction of sin, and they realize that they're a sinner, and they call out and repent and ask God for forgiveness of that sin, there has never been a person do that, that God has refused to forgive them of their sin. This is your chance. On the timeline of your life, from the day that you're born to the day that you're died, you can come to God and you can confess and repent and seek forgiveness from God, and you are guaranteed to receive it. Because God's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. And so, folks, what does God want to preach? I've got this mess of a life, and I've got sin in my life, and God's been convicting me about my sin. What does he want to do with this sin? He wants to forgive you of your sins. He wants to forgive you of your sins. Now, I'm going to draw this parallel several times during the message and try to help us as Christians. If God's willing, a perfect God, a holy God that's never sinned, is willing to forgive us for our sins. Please tell me, please stand up and tell me why we have a right to carry an ought against a brother or a sister who sought forgiveness from us. If a holy God is willing to forgive us, then an unholy people ought to be willing to forgive each other. What's God want to do with your sin? He wants to forgive your sin. Number two, God wants to cleanse you from your sin. 1 John 1, chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, we read this. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Now, wait a minute. I want you to get this, okay? Because this is separate. It's one thing to be forgiven. It's another thing to be cleansed. I mean, you can come to God and you come there in your sin, confessing your sin, and he looks at you and says, I forgive you of your sin, but wait, I'm not just going to forgive you of it. I'm going to cleanse you of it. I'm going to purge you. I'm going to take it off your record. It's one thing to go before a judge and say, I want you to forgive me for what I've done. It's another thing for him to cleanse you for what you've done. And you know what? God doesn't just offer us the opportunity to be forgiven. He's offered us the opportunity to be cleansed, to be clean. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 4 through 6. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Wow. So God says, this is what I want to do. Here's the deal. You're all sinners, and I hate sin. But you know what? I've offered a remedy of sin. Now, if you'll take me up on that, and you'll come to me, I'll forgive you of your sin. I'm going to send my Spirit to convict you of it. And then if you'll choose to come to me, if you'll respond to that conviction, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to forgive you completely for it, and I'm going to cleanse you from it. Folks, listen, you will not find, when we stand before the judgment seat, you will not find on my eternal record one evidence that I ever sinned. Every once in a while you'll have a preacher get up and try to convince you that I'm talking about, folks, the Bema Seat. I'm talking about the judgment of the saved. Well, we're going to show a movie and everybody's going to see every filthy and dirty thing. No, no, you're not, because it's been cleansed away. It's under the blood. It's gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now get that. Let that soak in. Listen, God doesn't just forgive us. He cleanses us. He wipes it away. Number three, let's get on with this. God wants to take away your sin. So he wants to forgive it. Then he wants to cleanse it. Then he wants to take it away. Here's Brother John the Baptist. John chapter 1 verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Would say, preacher, where does he take it? What does God want to do? What does he do with this? I get it. He forgives it and he cleans it. But what then? Where's it? He takes it. He takes it. Well, where does he take it? Well, I don't know exactly, but I can give you a couple verses that will give you some idea. Psalm 103, verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. All right. How many of you know which way east is from here? All right. How many of you know which way west is from here? I was going to have you all stand up like I did in the school one day. I was taking the kids on visitation, and man alive, I realized that half the time our teenagers were lost. I'd turn them loose and I'd give them what I thought was pretty clear directions as far as where I was going to pick them up. How many hours of my life has been wasted driving around in circles in Linton looking for two girls that got lost somewhere, you know? I said, you got to go east, and you go this direction. You stay on this road and you just keep going down this road. You see this road? This road. We're looking. We're standing there. They're with me. You see this road. This road. You're on this side of this road. Every house on this side of the road. You get and you keep going down this road. Same two or three or four. Same two or three or four. One day I just decided I'd send the bus on. They didn't know it. I'm standing there watching them. So they're talking. They talk. They talk. They talk. They talk. They go to house. They talk. They go to house. They get to the first block. And all of a sudden they get to a corner and I see them. All of a sudden they stand there and they look at each other. And they look this way. And they look that way. They look this way. And then they turn right. This road. This side of the road. It's not that hard. It's not rocket science. And man alive, we've dropped off girls in Linton and then found them in Worthington. This road. The side of the road. Straight that way. So I thought, well, maybe the problem is they don't know they're north, south, east, and west. So I had them all stand up in the learning center one day. We were getting ready to break, and I said, all right, I'm going to count to 10, so you got a little bit of time to think. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. When I say the word 10, I want you all to turn and face north. All right, are you thinking? You're all, and they're standing there. You can see panic on their faces, man. Panic and confusion. 1, 2, they're all looking at you. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Boom, they all turned a certain direction. Everybody in that room was facing a different direction. I never seen so much confusion in all my life. Half of them were waiting for somebody to turn so they had somebody to copy, only they copied the person that was facing west. I mean, are you getting this? Come on now. I don't know. Listen, that's east. And that's west. All right, the North Pole's up there somewhere. South Pole's down there somewhere. All right. Now watch this. You just keep heading that way. And you just keep heading that way. I'm going to tell you, I don't know where east and west ever meets. And I don't think they ever do. But God said, I'll tell you what, as far as the way is east is from the west, that's how far I'm going to take your sins away. Woo! Glory to God. Now maybe you haven't done much. Maybe you're pristine and clean and you have no regrets in life, but for us old sinners, that's pretty exciting. Come on now. Devil wants to drag up one of our sins. Let me tell you something. Don't you let him get by with that. As far as the east is from the west, if you've gone to God and sought forgiveness for sin, listen, don't you let the devil go out there somewhere out to the east or west and drag it back towards you. You know what? Thank God. He takes it away. See, where does he take it? Well, the prophet Micah was inspired to write this. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities. That will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free and in my heart's a song, buried in the deepest sea. The honest truth is there is a part of this planet that still remains unexplored. There is a last frontier. Study it out. There are the depths of the ocean, some places that mankind has never gone to and never will go to. You know how you know that? Because you put your finger on that verse and said God wouldn't allow that in his Bible if he thought we could ever go down and find where our sins are. Listen, that's where he wants to take away. So here we are, old sinful creatures, and we've sinned, and we've got a perfect God and a perfect heaven, and no sin is allowed in heaven, and so we're stuck. And so God sends a remedy for sin by sending his son, and then he gives us a choice. But he says, hey, let me sweeten the deal here. I want you to understand what I'm going to do with your sin if you come to me. Yeah, I'm going to send my spirit to convict you about it. But if you'll listen to him and if you'll seek with a repentant heart salvation, I'll forgive you of it. I'll cleanse you of your sins. And I'll take it so far away you'll never have to worry about it again. Now, I've got something even better than that. Number five. What does God want to do with your sin? God wants to forget your sins. He wants to forget your sins. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Will I remember no more? Whew. Now let me explain how this works. This is good stuff. I wish we had that ability. Don't you wish? Hey, how many of you say, preacher, there's some days, there's some darkness, there's some years, there's some months. You know what? There's some times I wish I could turn off with a switch and never think about, never remember again. Well, let me tell you this. God chooses not to remember. He chooses not to remember. So you come to God and you confess your sins. And then God says, okay, I accept your repentance. I respond to your repentance with my righteousness. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to forgive you of everything that you've ever done, and I'm going to cleanse you of everything you've ever done, and then I'm going to take that sin, and I'm going to take it so far away that there's no way in the world you can ever find it again. And then I'm going to do this. I'm going to forget it. I'm going to just tell you this. And there's times that not having a great memory is a hindrance in the ministry, but I'm going to tell you, Brother Joe, it's more of a blessing. Yes, sir. Some of you that can remember everything and every little slight, every little thing, and you just gnaw on it, chew on it, whatever, just drive yourself crazy. I feel sorry for you. Listen, why don't you just choose to be godly in this manner? Why don't you just choose to forget some things? Now, I don't a lot of times anymore have to choose to forget things. It just seems like I have a natural gift for it. I walked into your daughter's husband's church, I think Monday night, Brother Dennis and Sister Janice, and there's a preacher that came in to hear me preach. He walks over to me, and he reaches in his pocket and pulls out a $20 bill and says, here. I thought, amen. God's good. I didn't reach for it because I'm like, okay. I said, what's that for? He said, this past spring, you were up in Avon, Indiana. I said, yeah, at the bus conference, yeah, and you spoke a couple times, yeah, and you had some books on a table, yeah. And I told you, I said, can I take a couple of these books and send you some money for them? I said, you did? I mean, spring? I can't remember Monday. I said, okay, honest, do you remember that? I have absolutely, Brother Joe, hand on the Bible, if I'm lying, I'm dying, no recollection of that conversation. Okay, I'd make a great presidential. Presidential candidate, president. I have no recollection. Well, I'm not lying like Clinton was. I'm telling the truth, you know. I have no recollection. Only I didn't have any recollection. And I even looked at him and said, are you sure? And then I did this. I took his hand and I pushed it back and I said, listen, I don't remember. Why don't you just keep that and those books will be a gift? And he put it forward and he said, no, maybe you don't remember, but I've remembered. I need to pay this. And I took the $20 and put it in my pocket. Amen. Buy something for my wife. That's what I was thinking. But that's what you were thinking of. What were you doing? You talking about hunting stuff, you wicked heathen. When's the last time you bought some? What's that? Oh, I gave it to Tabitha. Well, no, trust me, she gets it. She gets plenty, all right? So. Glory. That was a blessing. That was a blessing. Let me help some of you. Some of you would have stewed and turned and tossed and lost sleep and be eat up with bitterness over a guy that didn't send you $20. Let me tell you something. You're the loser. He's not. Why don't you just let some stuff go? Now, I can help some of you. I can rescue some of you from yourself right now if you'll let me. I can't really do it, but God can do it for you. Why don't you just let some stuff go? Why don't you choose not to remember? Well, I just can't help it. You can't because you think about it all the time. You can't because you won't. Good night. I'm so busy doing stuff. Good night. I'm going to fill my life with so many positive things, I don't have time to think about the negative things. Well, didn't you know so-and-so? I don't know. Well, didn't you? I don't care. Yeah, but so-and-so said, I don't. I ain't got time for that. Whatever. God bless them. You know what? Whatever. But I'm not going to get eat up with it. And I'm not going to be destroyed by it. I'm not going to let the devil have victory in my life about it. I'm just telling you, you know what? I just choose not to remember. And thank God, God's given me the ability to not even have to choose sometime. So God, this is what what's he going to do with this sin I've got, preacher, if I come to him? Well, is the Spirit convicting you of it? Yes! Well, let me tell you what he wants to do. He wants to forgive it, then he wants to cleanse it, then he wants to take it away where you'll never see it again, and then he wants to forget about it. Now, I want to give you this because some of you, listen, the devil's playing with some of you, and I'm going to help you right now, give you ammunition against the devil. But if you've gone, and I'm not talking about people that won't repent about stuff. You want something for, if, I think that first word in 1 John 1:9 is if we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Now, if you've gone to God with true-hearted repentance and you've confessed to God, I shouldn't have said this, I shouldn't have done this. God, this episode of my life, please, God, I'm seeking your forgiveness. I'm seeking your cleansing. Please, God. I'll put my hand on 1 John 1:9. God, please forgive me. If you've done that, not only has God forgiven you and cleansed you and taken it away, but he's forgotten about it. Now watch this. I'm going to help some of you. Don't miss this. Well, if he's forgotten about it, how come it comes to my mind at times? Well, I'm going to give you a little hint. It's not God bringing it to your mind. Listen, I'm not going to come to you and remind you of something I forgot. Makes sense? I'm not going to come to you and say, hey, don't forget this if I've forgotten it. So who's doing it? Twice in the Bible, the devil is identified as the what? Accuser of the brother. And so the devil come to you one day, maybe in a low spot when you're facing some defeat and he'll listen, you heard the old saying about don't kick somebody when they're down? The devil don't believe that. When he gets you down, he'll start kicking you. And you know what he uses to kick you? Things out of your past he wants to bring up. By the way, things that have already been forgiven, that are already been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, that's already been taken away, and it's already been forgotten by God, and here he comes with it. And you've got to understand where that's coming from. Because he wants to whisper it in your ear, and then he wants to point to God as if God's the one that brought it to you. God didn't bring it to you. He can't remind you of something he's forgotten. So where's it coming from? It's come from the devil. Why? He's trying to beat you down. Now, my dad used to say something. And some of you know what I'm going to say. But he said this. When the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. And I mean, that's worked pretty good for me. All of a sudden, I'm getting beat down because the devil's bringing up some garbage from my past. The devil's putting me on a guilt trip over something God's already forgiven me for. And all of a sudden, I come to a realization of who's doing it. And you know what I do? I don't just think that's a cute saying. I think that's a good weapon. So I just start talking back to the devil and say, yeah, I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. You're hiding over there in the shadows trying to make me think that God's bringing this to mind. God's done forgiven it. God's done forgotten it. Let me tell you something, devil. You want to remind me about my past? Let me tell you. Let's go over here to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 21. Hey, devil, let's read some verses together. You know what you're going to hear? Whoosh, as he leaves the room. Sometimes some of you, and I'm going to help you here. Some of you going to God with sins you've already confessed. And the devil puts you on a guilt trip, so you go back to God again. You say, God, I've been thinking about this, and I know I've talked to you about it before, but God, I need you to forgive me for this. I need to confess. I need you. And God says, I don't know what you're talking about. An all-knowing God doesn't know what you're talking about. You know why? He's chosen to forget. Isn't that good? So this is the plan. This is what God wants to do. He says, listen, I'm going to send my spirit to convict you of your sin. By the way, I've already given you a remedy for it. I'm giving you a free will to choose it. I'm sent my spirit to convict you about it. And listen, if you'll come to me, I'll forgive it, and I'll cleanse it, and I'll take it away, and I'll forget that you ever did it. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I want to give you one more thought, and then a closing thought, and then maybe a closing thought. Now, I want to encourage some of you that, by the way, watch this. I hope this will be a blessing to you. Number whatever, God understands that we will struggle against sin. God understands. Hey, preacher, I need some verses. Turn over to Psalm 103. I want you to read it. Some of you need to hear this. God understands that we'll struggle against sin. He gets it. He gets it. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Verse number 8, Psalm 103, verse 8. Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful. Praise the Lord for that. Woo. And gracious. Slow to anger. Plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. Let me just give you this, and I want you to listen to the rest of it. But folks, listen, the best thing you can do is fear the Lord. Because there's some promises made to imperfect people that still fear God. If you wake up and you fear the Lord and you every day work the best you can to please him and live for him, and by the way, in the process of trying to do that, you miss the mark. That's what sin means, by the way. It means to miss the mark. You know what you're going to find out? God is merciful, merciful, merciful towards people that fear him and are trying. Watch this. Then he says this. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us, like as a father pitieth his children. So the Lord pitieth them that fear him. You ever watch your kid try to do, I mean, you can tell they're trying. They're trying to do something and they just mess up. What do? You just, you know, you just stand over them waiting, hoping that they'll mess up so you can just unleash wrath. No. You know what? You pity them. I'm trying to give you a side of God that I don't think is preached enough. God gets it. God gets it. For he knoweth our frame. I like this verse. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As a man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. There it is again. And his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. And so what's this portion of scripture say? You know what it says? It says God gets it. He understands that it is impossible for us to always get it right. We are dust. He knows our frame. If he sees us fear him and strive to keep his commandments, he is full of mercy and there to forgive and there to pick up when we stumble and fall. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 7, Paul deals with this very honestly, very openly. Through the inspiration of God, we read these words. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, and how to perform that which is good I find not. Come on, don't leave me up here by myself. You never felt like that? You never been there before? This isn't a man that's just said, hey, I don't care what God says. I'm just going to go out and live for the devil. Here's a man that gets up every morning trying the best he can and fighting to do right. And you know what? He still has to deal with this. Oh, carnal flesh. The flesh is no good thing. So he fights this battle. And you know what? God understands it. God sees it. God knows it. He goes on to say this. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bring me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Then he says this in almost frustration, desperation. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And brother, if you've never been there and you never had that moment in your Christian life a few times along the way, you haven't tried very hard to do right. And sometimes we try and we try and we fight, and you know what? And it seems like we're doing good for a while, and then all of a sudden, man, the wheels come off and crash and burn, and we just say, God, listen, I don't want to do wrong. I don't want to disobey. I don't want to live in the flesh. I want to live in the Spirit. But there's this battle. Preacher, is there any hope for us? Well, there's one more verse that follows that one. Thank goodness. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God but with the flesh, the law of sin. O wretched man that I am, who hath delivered me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, period. Now look right up here. You know what? God's rooting for you to make it. And God's going to equip you and try to help you and try to do everything he can within his power to help you to live a victorious Christian life. But I want to make this plain about God. He's not standing there waiting with his finger on the atom bomb to annihilate you every time he watches you stumble and fall. And it's a good thing he's not, or nobody would be here this morning. Now, I want to make sure that you're listening to me and that we distinguish this properly. I'm not talking about the person that walks out here and says, hey, man, we're all sinners and we can't help it, so I'm just going to go out and sin. You know what? God sees that evidence and God sees that attitude. He reads a man's heart. And you know what? Don't use grace as an excuse to sin. But I want to encourage those of you that are trying. But we've got some new converts, and you know what? You're hearing so many new things, you're probably at this point just saying, man, preacher, I don't know if I can ever get this whole thing together. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I've been married for 47 years, and there's still times I just say, I don't know if I'm ever going to get this whole thing together. Brother, I have a stretch of good days. Next thing you know, I think I'm doing pretty good and feeling pretty good about myself. And next thing you know, I'm thinking I'm doing it, and then next thing you know, boom, I get my legs kicked out from underneath me, and I hit the ground again, and God has to remind me, you can do this, but you can't do it without me. And it seems like the days that I realize that the victory comes through Jesus Christ and I rely on him, I do real good. When I think the victory comes through Jerry Ross, I don't do very good. Now God understands that. Hey, listen, watch this. I'm going to try to help the church. I'm going to try to help you in your relationship with each. Hey, sir, husband, can I remind you that I wish you'd remember what God remembers, that your wife's but dust. He remembers our frame. He knows we're dust. If God can be merciful and compassionate when we fail, do you think we could be merciful and compassionate with each other a little bit? God doesn't glory in iniquity. God isn't happy and thrilled when somebody messes up. Can't wait to run around telling everybody, let's post it on Facebook. Let's send private messages. Let's make sure everybody knows about it. Let's glory in somebody's failure. God doesn't do that. Why do we do that to each other? That's a wicked thing. I said it's a wicked thing. Come on. How many times has God forgiven you? How many times has God given you a second, third, fourth, fifth, 100,000th chance? You don't think you can extend a little mercy? I mean, come on now. How many sins has he forgiven you? You can't forgive somebody one thing? What I'm saying is this, folks, listen to me. If God, listen, sir, would you remember your wife's but dust? Ma'am, would you remember your husband's but dust? He's going to mess up tonight. He's going to fail. He's not going to always do what he's supposed to do. Thank God for a spiritual wife that's, listen, God doesn't love us because of what we are. He loves us because of who he is. Hey, parents, you know what? Kids are dust. You got to remember, they're but dust. Okay, they're going to break your heart sometimes. They're going to mess up sometimes. You got it? Going to happen. Yep, even your perfect kids. Yep. I've always found out that all the child-rearing experts, all their kids are under 12 years of age. You know, enjoy those years where you can walk around and they do everything I say. I know, they're 7. Come on now. If I was you, I'd just kind of be real quiet. I heard a wise person say once, somebody started criticizing somebody's kid, and this lady spoke up. She spoke up and said, I ain't saying a word. My kids aren't raised yet. I said, that's a pretty smart woman right there. Okay? If you're without sin, come on, grab the stone. Start chucking it. Start throwing stones. If you're not, shut up. Walk away. Okay? I've said this several times to people that's going through some real hard things of late, and I hope you'll let it sink in. Watch this. Listen to me. By the time this life's done, you're going to find out there's more than enough heartache to go around. By the time this life's done, there's more than enough heartache to go around. Never rejoice in somebody else's heartache. Because I promise you, before this life's done, there's more than enough heartache to go around. And so if Jesus can remember, hey, church member, would you remember that other church member, that other family? They're just dust. Some of you want to spend your entire life trying to prove that they're dust. Okay, we get it. They're dust. Yeah, but they're dust. Yeah, so are you. Yeah, but they've done this. Yeah, you want your list put on the board back here? You know, why don't we just learn to love each other? Why don't we learn that, you know what, not everybody's going to always do or say exactly what they ought to do or say? You know, some of you had been on the front line with the Jews screaming, crucify him, crucify him, because every time somebody messes up, you want to build another cross and have another crucifixion out here in the front yard. Hey, listen to me. Why don't you just have a little mercy? Doesn't mean you have to agree with what they're doing. Why don't you have a little mercy? Doesn't mean you have to condone it. Why don't you have a little mercy, a little grace? You want it when it's you. So give it when it's somebody else. Now, let me end on this note, because it's very important we don't end on God understands that we will struggle against sin. Number 7, God wants to help you to overcome, to have victory over your sin. Now listen to me. The same God who understands you're going to struggle with it is the same God that can give you the power to live a victorious Christian life. I'm going to close by reading some verses. Romans 6, 1 and 2. For what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Romans 6, 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. John chapter 5. After this there was a feast of the Jews. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind and halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. You know, I shake my head. You know, some people can find a reason to criticize in the middle of a miracle. It's just unbelievable. If you're a negative person, Jesus would come in and raise somebody from the dead and you'd find something to gripe about. He answered them, he hath not made, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. They asked him, what man is that which said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, listen, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. I want you to understand something. God understands that we struggle with sin. But he didn't save us so that we could wallow in sin. He saved us so that we can have victory over sin. Wasn't it in John chapter 8 where a bunch of Pharisees brought to him a woman caught it in the very act of adultery? And you know what? Where people wanted to stone, Jesus wanted to forgive. But remember what he said to her. He said that when he lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman. He said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn thee." Watch this. He didn't stop there. He said this, "Go and sin no more." And I want to help some of you. I want to help all of you. Listen to me. We're done. But I want you to get this. God is a merciful, compassionate God that realizes that the best of the best of the best of us that are trying hard are going to mess up from time to time. And you know what? He stockpiles mercy and grace for those moments. Thank God he does. And if he's willing to be merciful and grace and extend grace to us during our times of failure, then we, the members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, ought to be godlike in that regard and be ready with mercy and compassion when other people fall short in an effort to try to do right. But I'm going to tell you this. God is there to help you live the victorious Christian life. And you know what? You may not, and you're not going to ever be perfect till we're made again in his likeness. But you know what? As you grow in grace, and as you study the Bible, and as you pray, and as you grow spiritually, you can start winning more than you're losing. And you know what? You can enjoy more victories than defeat. Don't get discouraged, and don't give up, and don't listen to a handful of hypocrites. If you fall on your face, don't make excuses about it, and don't play the blame game. Get on your knees and confess it to God. You know what God will do? Watch this. He will forgive that sin. And he'll cleanse that sin, and he'll take it away, and he'll remember it no more, whether or not other people do or not. Get up and start over. Get up and, preacher, I got saved and I was doing well for a while, but I felt, get up and start over. But preacher, this hadn't been a good month for me. Get up and start again. But preacher, I'm not near as good as some of that. Hey, stop comparing yourselves among yourselves. It's not wise. There's a God in heaven that loves you and cares about you. And I'm going to tell you what, millions and millions and millions and millions of people have gone to him in their weakness and their failures. And you know what they've received from him? Cleansing and forgiveness and strength and a second chance. And if he's been willing to give that to everybody else, he's no respecter of persons, he'll give that to you today. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for who you are. I feel like I've just had an opportunity to get up and in front of everybody, read the Word of God and brag on the great, loving, merciful God of the universe. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for not turning your back on us when you could have and probably should have. You didn't. Thank you for never compromising your holiness and your justness, but always being equal in your mercy and compassion. And thank you for sending Jesus. Help us to remember our responsibilities in this matter. If we confess our sins, help us, Lord, to be quick to own our failures, quick to repent, quick to confess. Help us to want to keep things between us and you very clean and very clear. And God, thank you for being there, abundant in mercy. Bible says your mercy is as high as the heavens. We just read that. As high as the earth, the heavens are from the earth. That's a pretty big mountain of mercy. Thank you, Lord. We're sinned abound. Ah, the song, it set the stage. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Thank you, Lord, that sin's never been able to outrace grace. And Lord, I know I'm preaching, Lord, to people that struggle because they're listening to a preacher who struggles. And Lord, we don't always get it right, but thank you, God, that you're always there for us. You love your children. You pity your children. You remember that we're but dust. Lord, please not only help us to embrace that part of our God, but help us, Lord, to mimic that part of our God in our interaction with the people in our lives, Lord. May we love the unlovely, and may we care for those that are struggling the most, and may we defend and advocate, Lord. And I pray, God, that you would help, Lord, us to be God-like in this area of our life. Bless, help, save, Lord, this morning. Please save that person that's near as hell. There's somebody here without Jesus as Savior. They've never been saved. Oh, my goodness. I hope, Lord, that they listened. I hope that your Spirit was very active in their life, and I hope that they'll let him do what he wants to do.